The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's an honor to be back with you again this morning. I really enjoyed being with you guys last week. Linda and I really appreciate you guys, and it is good to come back and be with you. I had a question just kind of starting off today. Who is really good at multiplication? Everybody's like, this is a trick I'm going to be asked. But it's really funny. I asked that because as we're going to Marion and starting the new church planting network there and planting new churches in Marion, my bivocational job that I've started at there is I'm a substitute teacher. And, you know, I enjoy teaching and enjoy kids. And as I've started substitute teaching, the first class that I had substitute teaching was algebra. And as I went into the algebra class, and since then I've also taught sixth grade math as well, and I have to be honest, I came and I looked at their sheets that they're doing and the work that they're doing, and I thought, do I still know how to multiply? Do I still know how to do these math problems that they've given to me? And I really had to think about what it was to do those math problems and to multiply it out. But it's really interesting that we come to find out that we are created for multiplication. We are created to multiply. You see, physically, God made us, created us to multiply. After God created Adam and Eve, he said to them in Genesis 1:28, it says that then God blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over all the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. And we have done a pretty good job of that. We have been pretty good at multiplying physically and filling this earth. But God doesn't just call us to multiply physically. He calls us to multiply spiritually. And the process for multiplying spiritually is very similar to the process that we have in multiplying physically. Because you see, when we become a new Christian, we're to be born again. We're born anew in the Spirit. It's like being a baby in our spiritual life. But the key is that, you know, it's so cool to hear the report in pregnancy and that things are coming along and knowing that a son is coming. That's really cool. But if we were to have babies and they just stayed babies, I mean, we would think that's cool because they're kind of cute and all, until we had to keep changing diapers. And we're like, can't you just grow up? Can't you just get to the point where I don't have to change your diaper anymore? Can't you just get to the point where I don't have to feed you anymore, where you can actually hold a spoon by yourself and do all of those things? You see, spiritually, we are also not to stay babies. We're to grow as children of God. We're to move from being babies to being children, to becoming spiritual adolescents. And we're to move into spiritual maturity. We are to grow up in our faith. And as we do that, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are also then to go and make disciples. We are called to help people grow as followers of Jesus. We're to help people take that step to be born again and to grow as children, to become adolescents in their faith, and then to mature in their faith. You see, each one of us is called to grow deeper in our own spiritual walk, to become more mature, devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we are then to grow wider as a church, as we're to reach out to others, to make disciples, to invite them to join us as we worship and as we follow Jesus Christ together. That's what it means to multiply spiritually. And do you understand that Jesus himself gave us a directive to do this? Jesus told us that this is what we need to do. And it's commonly known as the Great Commission. We know we have the Great Commandment, The great commandment is to love the Lord your God and to love others as yourself. Awesome thing that we're supposed to do. But we don't just stop there at the great commandment in loving others. We're also been given the great commission. And the great commission is to go and make disciples. I shared with you last week, my church in Portland jokes a lot because I always say this is one of my favorite scriptures. And I have to admit that my wife asked me today, are you preaching from one of your favorite scriptures today? And I am. So I want to share with you from Matthew 28, one of my favorite scriptures and what Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is, amen indeed, this is a powerful, powerful commission that Jesus has given to us. This is Jesus telling us as Christians exactly what our mission is. He says he has all the authority that he needs to have to commission us. And then he outlines exactly what he wants us to do in order to multiply spiritually. And as I read through this, there's a whole lot here, but there are three main things I think we can pull out that Jesus directs us to do in the Great Commission. And the first thing Jesus says is to go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's really interesting as we look at those words. He said, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is your hometown, right where you live. Judea and Samaria are the surrounding regions, places that might be a little different than you. The culture might be different, even though it's just another town away or so. But we're to reach Judea and Samaria. And then we're to go to the ends of the earth with the gospel. Jesus is basically telling us here that wherever we go, we are to be his witnesses. We are to tell people what he has done. Wherever we go, we are to tell people about Jesus. And one of the keys that Jesus shares here is that we must go. We are not to keep Jesus right here in this worship service only. We are to go out those doors right there and share Jesus with people around us. And I want to share with you today three things that we can do to go and make disciples. Three things that we can do to make that happen. First, we can enter in relationship with others. We can enter into relationship with others. What that means is that we don't jump right in to a spiritual conversation and beat people over the head with the Bible. I'll just share with you, that didn't work on me before I became a Christian. And I don't know very many people that it does work with. Just to hit them over the head with the Bible and tell them what a rotten sinner they are and they need to come to church. Instead, we should try to be a friend. To really enter into a relationship with people. Jesus recognized where people were in their lives. And he listened to their personal stories. He was a friend to the people around him. And here's a great truth that I've learned. People don't care what you know till they know that you care. Do you get that? People don't care what you know until they know that you care. People don't want to be a project that you're working on, but they want and desire a friend to enter into their life. That's really our first step, to be a friend to the people around us, to enter into relationship and friendship with others. The second thing that we're to do then is that we're to share the gospel. Peter says that we should always be prepared to share our hope in Christ Jesus. That means that we're supposed to be prepared to do that. And you know what? Each one of us has a story to tell. Each and every one of you has your story to tell about Jesus Christ in your life. Each one of us has a testimony about Jesus. Your testimony could be that you grew up in church all your life and you always knew that Jesus loved you. That's a cool testimony. That's my wife's testimony. That I think the first Sunday that she was breathing air, that she was sitting about right there with her mom in that church. That's her testimony, that she has never had a time when she has not known the love of Jesus Christ in her life. That's a cool testimony. My testimony is a little different. I grew up not knowing anything about Jesus, except that, you know, sometimes people around me use Jesus and God as a swear word. And that was my testimony growing up, that I didn't know God and that someone shared Jesus with me and that I came to know him as my Savior. You see, each one of us has our own testimony. Whether you came to church with your parents at a young age or whether someone invited you to church and brought you at one time in your life. Telling your story is sharing your life with someone. It's not just saying churchy stuff that people don't know if you really care or if you're just trying to fill up the church. But it's telling your story of what Jesus means to you and how the gospel has impacted your life. And you know what? We need to practice telling our story. We need to be prepared to share it at any time. So we need to practice it. And I want to share with you that the person you should tell your story to first and practice it is your spouse. Tell your husband, tell your wife your story about Jesus in your life. Yes, they know, of course, that we've been married for 300 years, but you can share with them what Jesus means to you. And you might even say, I want to practice telling my story. How does this sound? And share that with your husband. Share that with your wife. And then share your story with your kids. Your kids need to know how you came to faith in Jesus. Your kids need to know why faith is so important to you. And as you share your story with your family, it becomes a part of you and it becomes easier to share with the next person. Practice your story. Rehearse it. Share it again and again. And if you don't have anyone else to share your story with, come and share with me. I'd love to hear it. Come and talk to Pastor Chris. He would love to hear your story of what Christ has done in your life. The key, though, is it is so important to be prepared to share your story. And if you haven't practiced it, you probably aren't comfortable with it, of how to share and what those words are. Practice it with each other. Share your story in Christ so that you can be ready to share the gospel with other people. And then the third thing that we need to do is we need to then invite others to trust Jesus. We need to invite others to trust Jesus. It's great to build a relationship with them, and we should. It's so important to share our story with people, and that's great. But we need to take the third step in that and invite others to know Jesus as well. Sometimes people are just waiting to be asked. They're just waiting for that invitation. They might not know the next step. They might not know what they're supposed to do about this faith that they're learning about. And you say, is that true? Could that really be? Absolutely. How do I know? That's my story. You see, I was prepared to become a Christian intellectually about 6 months before it happened. I had started going to church. I had gone home after the service. And I invite you to do this, please. This is a great thing to do. But I would hear what the preacher was saying, and I would say, is that right? And I went home and got the Bible out and put on the dining room table and investigated what the preacher had said that morning. And it made sense to me. And I'm like, that's true. That's good stuff, what he's saying. But I was ready at that point to become a Christian. Do you know why it took me 6 months to become a Christian? No one asked me. No one said, Jeff, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior? Would you like to take the step to pray, to have faith, to put your faith in Christ? I didn't know what to do next. I knew it all sounded good, but I didn't know the initiation to get into the club. Someone had to invite me. Someone did finally say, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior? Would you like to pray with me to have Jesus in your life? Friends, it really does take an invitation. There may be people around you who are ready to become a Christian, to take that step of faith to Christ. They need somebody to invite them. Now, the second thing that Jesus says for us to do in this scripture, he says we're supposed to baptize them. When someone comes to faith in Jesus, we are to baptize them. Paul explains it to us in Colossians 2:12 when he says, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You see, when we're baptized, we're identifying with Jesus. We are recognizing what Jesus did, that Jesus died for my sins, and that he was raised to new life. That is so cool and so important. And in baptism, we are saying that my old life is now buried with Christ, and God has raised me to a new life as I follow Jesus. Baptism is about obeying Jesus' command to be baptized and identifying with his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Every disciple needs to be baptized and identify with Jesus Christ. And then third, Jesus says that we are then to teach people to obey Jesus. We're to teach others to obey him. These new disciples who come to faith, that you've invited to faith in Jesus, who get baptized, then you're to teach them how to obey him. In John 14, verse 12, Jesus says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And as we think about that, how can someone obey Jesus if they don't know what he teaches? As a disciple maker, we are to help people to know what Jesus says, to understand what Jesus tells us to do, and encourage them to be obedient to what Jesus says. How are we supposed to do that? Well, there are many ways, but three major ways come to mind to me. The first is that we're to invite people to join us in worship. Invite people to come here to Living Faith with you to hear God's word on Sunday. And now, when you invite someone to come, don't just say it would be nice for you to show up some Sunday morning, but say, I would love you to come and be my guest. Sit with me on Sunday so we can worship God together. And then invite them to dinner, whether it's to your house or going to, what is it, Mi Casa just down here or something like that, to invite them to go to dinner with you and then ask them what they thought. Ask them, was there anything that you didn't understand about service today? Ask them, did you have any questions about the message or what it meant? Or ask them, was there something that was really impactful to you that you would like to share? Talk to them about what went on and what worship was all about. Now, a second way is to invite people to join you in your Bible study group. If you have a small group or a Bible study that meets at your home, invite them to come and do Bible study with you. Ask them to come and be part of that group. Because when we get in a small group together, a Bible study group together, we can go a little more in depth into God's word together. We can ask questions together about what the text means. Or we can talk about the things that we don't understand and gain understanding together. And a third way, if you don't have a Bible study group, invite someone to do Bible study with you one-on-one. Say, hey, I know you're not in a group. I'm not in a group either. Why don't we just get together and look at what God's word says together in lunch hour or something? And that we can look at what Jesus says and talk about how to make that a part of our daily life. These are just three ways that we can help others learn to obey Jesus. You see, Jesus tells us to go and make disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them to obey everything that he says so that they can then go and make disciples and teach them to obey everything that Jesus says so that they can go and make disciples and help teach them to obey everything that Jesus says. And that is multiplication. That's really cool. So why don't we do it? It makes sense. We think that sounds cool. I saw a few of you even nodding your heads at that. It sounds easy. I mean, it sounds clearly stated. Why don't we do it? Jesus didn't say it was an option. He said it's something that every disciple should do. So why do we hesitate? We all do. We hesitate in doing that. And generally, what I have found in people is that we just don't feel qualified. We don't feel qualified to go and make disciples. We don't think we are good enough to make disciples. And it's very intimidating to go and make disciples. But really, it's just helping someone to grow spiritually, the same way that we help our kids to grow up physically. It's training for godliness. But if you need it, I can give you three qualifications that you can have to be a genuine disciple maker. And here are three qualifications that you can have to be a genuine disciple maker. Number one, to be a disciple maker, you must have a genuine desire to follow Jesus. To be a disciple maker, you must have a genuine desire to follow Jesus. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, and not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human heart. In order to be a genuine disciple maker, you must have a genuine desire to follow Jesus. And what does that look like, to have a desire to follow Jesus? It's really the definition of being a disciple. It means that we are born again. To be a disciple, we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. We need to acknowledge the sin that is in our life and see that we need a Savior, and believe that Jesus loves us, that he died on the cross for our sins, and that we commit our lives to follow him. After we do that, we're to identify with Jesus through baptism. We're to go public with our faith and let others know that we are following Jesus. Then, we need to be obedient to Jesus. We need to get into God's word regularly in worship service, in small groups, in personal devotions and Bible study. We need to be faithful in prayer and to seek God's guidance in our lives. You might be thinking, wait a minute, that kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Yeah, we were just talking about that. One of the major qualifications to be a disciple maker is to be a disciple. It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you have to be, you know, all Joe Christian and perfect in everything you do. It doesn't mean that you've got it all under control even. It just means that you are faithfully following Jesus with your life. And that it's your desire to follow Jesus and to continue to work on your faith in your life. You don't have to have it all figured out to help somebody else grow in their faith. In fact, you will grow more in your faith when you're trying to help somebody else grow in their faith. It's the big secret that all Bible study leaders know. If you're leading a Bible study, or if you're leading a one-on-one Bible study, you will grow more than the person that you're leading. Than the group that you're leading. It is a natural phenomenon that you will grow more than the students. But to be a disciple maker, you must have a genuine desire to follow Jesus. Number two, to be a disciple maker, you must have a genuine love for others. Jesus said in Matthew 22, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." To really grow in our faith, we must love God with all we've got. Everything we've got, we need to pour into loving God. But then Jesus says the second command is equally as important. And we need to love the people around us. Loving others means that we have a genuine desire to see good things happen in their life. It means that we are concerned about them and want them to receive all that God has to offer. Now, don't mistake me here. I am not saying that we're rooting for them to make it big and get lots of money. For some people, that would be the worst thing in the world for them to happen to them in their spiritual lives, is to make it big and make lots of money. No, it's wanting them to see and pursue what God desires for them. The biggest part of loving others is to have a real desire for them to come to know Jesus. If you love God and you love others, you want others to come to love God as well. You want them to hear the good news about Jesus and make a commitment to follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's a big deal. It's that big. It's that huge. It's more than wanting just good things to happen to people, which I want good things to happen to each and every one of you. But it's more important than that. I want each of you to have the gift of eternal life. To know Jesus as your Savior. Without that, life is meaningless. Life is hollow without having Jesus Christ as your Savior. To genuinely love someone means you want them to have eternal life in heaven with Jesus, as well as abundant life here and now. I was going to show you a video, but I'll tell you a little bit about it today. Have you ever seen the comedian illusionist Penn and Teller? Pretty good. I think they do. They have that show called Fool Us or something like that. I watch it. I think it's really good. And Penn Jillette is an avowed atheist. That he says he doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. But I saw a blog video that he did at one of his... One of his shows, there was a guy sitting in the row watching everything, clapped, thought it was great. Afterwards, he came and he gave Penn a Bible. He said he wasn't pushy, he wasn't awkward, he didn't beat him over the head with it. He just said, "This is really important to me and I would like you to have it too." And Penn said he really started thinking about it. And he said, "You know, I don't believe in God, but it hit me that if you do believe in God, you must share your faith." He said, "It's kind of like if I'm going outside and on one here, He didn't say one, it was a different road. But if you're walking outside and there's a truck, big semi coming down one, and someone is standing out in the road not paying attention. He said, how much do you have to hate that person to not say, get out of the way? And if they don't get out of the way and they don't hear you, to run up and grab them and pull them off of the road so they don't get run over by a truck. He said, how much do you have to hate them to not pull them out of the way of certain death? He said, that's the way he sees people of faith. How much do you have to hate someone not to share Christ with them? But I like to put it the other way. How much do you love someone when you take the opportunity, even though it feels awkward at times for us to do it, to share Jesus with someone and invite them to eternal life? Jesus said in John 13, verse 35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Sharing the gospel is evidence of loving others. And to be a disciple maker, you must have a genuine love for others. Now, the third thing that I would share with you to be a disciple maker is you must be a genuine example of following Jesus. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Friends, to be a real disciple maker, we can't be faking it. We can't be faking our Christian life. People see that. People know that. They smell that out. To help others to follow Christ, we must be a genuine example of what it means to follow Christ. People will follow what you do more than they will follow what you say. What you do carries more weight. Think about your own kids. Kids learn by imitating their parents. It's amazing to me. My dad has been gone and in heaven 7 years now, and I still, from time to time, will pause and say, what I just said, that was my dad. That speech pattern, I learned that from my dad. The way that I tease others, I learned that from my dad. You see, our kids imitate us as they grow. They learn to speak by watching us and imitating how we speak. They learn to walk by watching us and imitating how we walk. And people will learn to follow Jesus by watching you and imitating you. That means we need to live a transformed, obedient life. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 3, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults with love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Paul says we are to live a life worthy of our calling. We are to be patient, humble, and gentle. We are to live united in the Spirit. We are to connect together as Christians to be the church and to reach out to others in love. Being an example of for Christ is living right. It's loving others. And it's being united with his church. And it doesn't mean that we get it perfect all the time. But it means that we are striving to do that. That's what it means to be a genuine example of a Christ follower. Friends, we're called to multiply. To multiply and be disciple makers. Disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Christ followers who help others to follow Christ. People who help others to grow in their spiritual life, to become mature Christians who will then go out and help others to grow in their spiritual life as well. We are all to be disciple makers. All of us. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are called to be a disciple maker. We are called to multiply. Jesus said again in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." It's pretty clear what Jesus wants us to do. We're to go and make disciples who make disciples. We're to go and make disciples and encourage them to be baptized, helping them to obey Jesus in all that they do, so that these new disciples can go and make disciples, helping people to get baptized and encouraging them to obey Jesus in everything they do, so that they can go and make disciples, encouraging them to get baptized, helping them to obey Jesus in everything they do, so that they can go and make disciples. That's what multiplication is all about. So the question that I would leave with you here today is, are you willing to take that step? Are you willing to take the step and be a multiplier and a disciple maker? If you think, I hadn't thought of it that way, what do I do? Think about who God has placed in your life right now, who you can begin helping them to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Might be your wife. Might be your husband. It definitely should be your kids. It might be a person at work that you're with. It might be a friend at school. It could be anyone that God has placed in your life. We just need to open our eyes to see, who is it God has placed in my life that I can help to be a disciple? The second part of that is, who among you could be your partner? When we read in Scripture, Jesus sent the disciples out two by two to go into the neighboring towns and surrounding areas. Who can you partner with here at Living Faith? Someone that can encourage you and that you can encourage to be a disciple maker. Someone you can be praying for and then be praying for you to go and make disciples of the people around you. Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. Paul even met with Barnabas as they went out to make disciples. Who is God pointing out to you that you might partner with so that you can go and make disciples? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching these new disciples to obey everything that Jesus has taught us. That's what it means to multiply. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your word. And we thank you for what you have said to us. And Lord, it humbles me that you would call me to be a disciple maker. But Lord, I can't be too proud in that, because you have called every single person who comes to faith in you to be a disciple maker. What a great honor. What a great privilege, Lord. And so Lord, today we just ask you that you help us. That your Holy Spirit go with us. That you encourage us, Lord, and give us strength to be prepared in every season to share the truth of your gospel. To make friends, to speak with them and talk with them, and then to invite them to come to know you. Lord, what an incredible calling that you have given to us. So Lord, I ask that even now as we pray, that you put someone, put a name within our mind. Put a picture of that person in our heart, that we might take that step to make disciples. And Lord, we pray that you give each one a partner. that we recognize this is not a solitary journey. We are not called to do this alone, but we are called to do this together as a church. And Lord, how awesome would it be here at Living Faith that we carry out what you have given us in Acts chapter 2, where you have said that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Lord, we know that's not just a story, that's reality. And if we are reaching out to be disciple makers, that kind of multiplication can happen. Lord, even so, we ask that you make it true here and in each one of our lives. We'll give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.